Driving In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and two-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We are scrubbing in. It is our first episode together of 2021.
That's
hello,
right.
Gang.
Hello, Becca and her mini microphone. This is literally the best thing I have ever seen. And I'm so glad now that we have recordings of these podcasts, because now you guys can witness this, whatever this mini microphone is that she's holding.
Okay. In my defense, I'm quarantining right now because I got back. I still have a week, essentially, until I'm able to be into the free world with a negative COVID test. But I'm at home, and I don't have the full-blown studio setup that Tanya has in her home. So I have this mini mic I ordered off of Amazon, and Easton told me the sound was great. So I'm doing it again.
It's literally like a microphone for ants.
I know. It's really funny.
I think kind it's the size. It's the size of what? Like a cigarette, maybe?
Maybe smaller than a cig, a joint.
Like a joint.
I think it's supposed to be a lapel mic that you like pin on your shirt, but Becca's holding it like a very tiny game show host.
Okay, they did not give me the lapel or whatever you're talking about to put it onto my shirt, unless I'm supposed to just do tape or something. But so yeah, I'm just holding it, and it's very small and delicate. But delicate. If it sounds good, who cares?
Who cares?
What's new? How's 2021 been for you? Where do we begin?
You know, I actually, where do we begin? Where should we begin?
Do we start? Some significant things have happened since we last were together and spoke.
You know, I'm going to start off by just saying I went through a breakup right before Christmas. I can't talk about it because I literally will cry, and I'm just done crying. I cried a lot over the winter break, and I just don't want to do it anymore. But I think the thing that I realized is, I think what was so hard for me, and I think I was like in shock, because in my mind I felt so strongly that this connection and this relationship was something so rare and so special that I would have fought tooth and nail for it. So I like was in shock that I couldn't really wrap my head around the fact that it was over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think dealing with that was like really hard to like wrap my head around, and just cried. And then I got this DM from some person with no face, obviously. And it just said the word rebound like over and over and over again. And I'm human, so obviously like that affects me. And like, I, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I was, you know, you think maybe I was. And then they all kind of like clicked to me. And I was like, you know what? I'll never know what's in anybody else's mind. All I know for sure is how I felt and my feelings about that relationship. And that was authentic and real and beautiful and something that I have never found before. So, and that's all that matters. You know what I mean? I have no regrets about how I treated that relationship or him. Like, I was 100% in, and I gave it everything like I would somebody that was my life partner. You know what I mean? So I have no regrets at all. So I'm healing and I'm hopeful.
Wait, you're saying like a troll said rebound? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Or like whatever. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. That makes me angry. But, you know, obviously I've been with you going through this and watching how you've handled it and watching the whole relationship, honestly. And I just have to say, I'm so proud of you of how you've handled not only how you've handled it was a tough situation, the relationship. There was a lot of, you know, complications that you navigated so gracefully. And I have been watching you come out of it and be so strong. And of course, you've had heartache and heartbreak, and you're a human being who feels a lot. And but you're also, I think, coming out on the other side. And I think you're very aware of what you deserve and how much you put into a relationship. So I just have to say, as your best friend, I'm so proud of you, because it's it happened right before the holidays as well, which was like brutal, honestly.
Brutal.
I think you really just took it, and I think that you are more like inspired than ever to
I know,
find
you know
what you want.
What's like crazy too is like I felt so much love from like the people and the relationships in my life. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Becca gave me this basket. She put like a book and a bottle of wine and just like all this stuff. And I'll never forget, I was reading the card and it was like so sweet. And at the bottom, the card said like, every Tanya needs a Tanya every once in a while. And like, I just started sobbing because like, that's so sweet. You know, like Becca doesn't make baskets, but like, and like all my girlfriends were sending me like vegan ice cream and flowers and books. And like, I just, and dropping food. Like I just felt so so much love from the relationships in my life that like, I was like, it was nice.
Good. Well, on to new things.
That's right.
That's right.
So healing and hopeful. Just healing and hopeful. It's where
you know,
we're at
2020 had to get one more little jab in there.
One more little jab. I know. And then, like, my mom gets COVID literally 2 days after. And I'm just like, of course. The one time I need, like, my best friend to hold me and tell me, like, everything's going to be okay and he's not there, you know? Like, that was...
Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah. Well...
She's on the mend and...
Yeah. Your mom's feeling better?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I was the same way. I went home for Christmas and we did our road trip and it was honestly so fun. Like, we did the perfect amount of time to... get through it and it didn't feel horrible every day. I think the most we drove was like 9 hours in one day, but it was split up because we would stop and see things. So it was really
still mad you didn't go to my sorority house in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, Tanya texts me. Oh, we literally stopped in Tucson to sleep and then she's like, wait, you should go by my sorority house.
Just drive
like,
by?
Tanya, yeah, like say hi to the girls.
Yeah, no, we have what? I had a plan of a time frame of how things were going to go, and that would have really thrown off my journey. My <God. laughs> But next time I will add it into the itinerary.
I know. I was more upset that I didn't pre-plan because I remember Patty went to Tucson like a year ago or whatever, and I gave her like a really cute package to give to the sorority, like the house. With like a letter in it, uh-huh. And like I never heard back from anybody there, but I'm still gonna keep sending stuff.
That is so cruel. I know. Maybe Patty never actually dropped it off.
No, she did. She sent me a photo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't do that, but it was just so fun to be with my sisters, and when we got to Louisiana, it was like we weren't like exhausted, and I just felt good that we had like that time. It was fun to. Because we've been in LA and it was locked down and it was just fun to like kind of get out and go see things and be on the open road. But
be on the open road.
And we were on the open road. And in some places, the speed limit is 80 miles per hour. Is that not crazy? That is fast.
It's great. Yeah.
And like I always go at like 5 to 7 over. So that was like flying down the roads. And I got a minivan. It was great. So we got to Louisiana and honestly had such an amazing Christmas. I just had so much great. It was just the first Christmas recently where I just felt like my family was so interested in one another on like a deeper level and like really cared to talk about what's going on in our lives. And it was just a really special Christmas, honestly, like one that I'll never forget, and just being able to be together. And we were supposed to leave on the Wednesday after Christmas. And Tuesday night, we got a call that my cousin Gant passed away. And it was devastating because he was only 30. And, so you know, you kind of go through all these feelings of wishing you had reached out more recently. Or, you know, you kind of go through all these, like, feelings. And knowing how close he and my aunt and his siblings were was just... really heartbreaking. And at the same time, it was like such a blessing that we were all in town and able to drive up a few hours and be together and support one another. And it was, I hadn't seen some of my family members in so long. So it was just like this heartbreaking yet beautiful time together. And it was just really special. And I just, if you think about my family, if you could just say a prayer for them, because it's like, you know, you have so many people surrounding you. And like kind of distracting you in that time, and then everyone leaves and kind of moves on, and they're still in, you know, the thick of not having their son or their brother, you know. And it was just a really sad ending to 2020, and even going into 2021, it was just, it was tough. But they're really strong, and they trust that he is in a better place, which I think brings a lot of peace to all of us. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's, we got back and we've been quarantining, and a few, my mom has COVID right now. So it's just been like checking in and making sure everyone's okay. And we're staying, quarantined in the house until next Monday. So, you know, Hink and I, at least I have Hink, because, and Phoebe, yeah, we're getting through it together. So
I think that's like the thing that's so crazy right now is like, especially like we're in Los Angeles and it's, the numbers have never been worse. And it's also just so unpredictable. You know what I mean? Like everybody has different symptoms. It just hits people so differently. And I think that's like, I think when my mom had it, I just, the panic just starts to like come in because you just don't know what to expect every day, you know? And so it's like,
yeah. I know, it's such a weird virus, and both my mom and my sister have it. My younger sister, my other sister, not the one that lives with me, Caroline, and both of them already had it. So this is just a little insight that if you think you've had it and you're immune, it's not the case. And I don't know, maybe there's a certain amount of time, but I think there's been, I remember at the beginning, I was like, well, maybe if I just get it, then I will be like relieved of the, you know, I'll be immune or something. And it's just not the case. So, but they're feeling okay. I'm just trying to not aggressively check in, but I'm checking in often. You good? Your lungs feel okay? Like, how's it going? So, just, you know, we're still in it. And,
does she have thing that she checks her like blood oxygen levels?
She has the, so she went and when she went and got tested, she got some like a breathing treatment that she's doing. So I think that's just good for her. And I think a lot of that was residual from the first time she had it, you know, like having that like heaviness in the chest. So even though her symptoms weren't extreme in the sense of like she never got the really bad flu-like symptoms, hers was more her chest and like just feeling super tired. And it kind of has lingered, honestly, after like months and months. It's kind of just in certain weather, or if she does too much, it, she can feel it. So yeah, I think it's so unpredictable, and I think that's the really scary thing about it, is that everyone's different. Everyone's symptoms are different. So anyways, we're in 2021, and I know there's just something so refreshing about starting a new year, seeing a new number, especially like after last year and everything. It's just like every month felt like there was something new next year. And I hope that this year, even though the first, you know, it's been a rocky start. Many reasons. But I pray that this year kind of brings, you know, maybe more growth, but just a little more peace. I don't know. I'm just like, please.
I know.
Easton, Mark, how's life?
Good. I mean, things are good at the Allen camp. We had a very successful EC Awards. Thank you both for being part of it.
Of course.
It was a big hit.
By the way, do you know what's so funny? So I did grocery shopping for my parents when my mom had COVID, because I was like, why would you like have Instacart when I live, you know, 45 minutes up the street and I can do it for you? So
up the street.
45 minutes up the street. Jenna's a long street.
But I was also on vacation. Also on vacation, going through a breakup. It's like, just, I'm happy to go grocery shopping for you guys. Yeah. So anyways, I did their groceries. And do you know what was on the grocery list?
Yukon potatoes.
Whatever potatoes was Easton's Eastie Award that I'd never heard of. I was like, wow, I've never heard of these, and they pop up twice in a matter of 2 weeks in my life.
Clearly they are the potatoes of 2020.
Clearly, yeah.
Yukon Gold, I had some this morning. They're fantastic potatoes.
Yeah. I thought that was so funny, though. I was like, are you kidding me?
Your mom has great taste. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on here. Everything's fine. Kids are good. Wife is good. Daughter goes back to high school. Well, actually, goes to high school for the first time next week. They've not called that off. That's still happening. They're scheduled to return on the 19th, and apparently they're going.
That's so, so for
the
first,
she's more than halfway done with freshman year, but she'll step foot in the high school for the first time next week.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So they have not been in school this whole time, and now they're going back?
The middle school went back in November, but the high school, because it's a, they don't want to go back mid-semester or mid-trimester.
Yeah.
And so this is their semester break coming up, so they're going to go back next week.
Whoa, that's I'm shocked so that they're going back.
They're, she's very excited about it. And the middle schooler is very happy to be back.
I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, my nephews are all in school in Louisiana, and my sister is thrilled that the schools are back open.
Schools don't seem to be real big spreading grounds. That doesn't seem to be the case.
I know, and you know what? I think it is doing something to, like, like, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine who has two kids, and she was just like, I have great kids. They're happy kids. And this pandemic has just created some sort of angst and, like, this angry energy in them. And they're like, feel like they're getting behind in this Zoom school. And it's just like rough, man.
I've noticed with my youngest, the high schooler less, she seems to be pretty locked in. But the youngest, there's a more of a feeling of, what's the point? Like, yes, I'm supposed to do this assignment, but why? Like she doesn't say those words, but that's the general vibe I get from her is, what difference does it make? I'm going to my room, I'm staring at a screen, class is over. It's just, you know, it's just, it all seems kind of like pretend school.
Yeah.
Oof, I would not do well without the structure of school. I don't do well if someone's, like, for example, I didn't think about working out one time during my break or, you know, anything. And then I had workout today for the first time. And I was like, I would not do this if I wasn't paying for someone to tell me to do this. And there's just like, I would be the same way in school. I'd be the same way as your middle schooler. I'd be like, what's the point?
Yep.
Well, I hope she's a lot more motivated than I am in her life.
Hope so.
Working out is like all I did during the break. Those 2 weeks I was just like running and like, who knows? I don't even know what I did.
We all have our ways of coping. I was just telling somebody the other day, my way has always been my routine. As soon as I get a routine locked in, then I'm good. And so, but it gets to the point of like, you know, hey, I need you to run, you know, I'm making dinner or we're out of this. Can you run to, I'm like, oh no. If I run to the grocery store, it throws off the entire day. And like, I get too locked into my routine and any change in my routine sends me into a spiral and it's bad. So it's hard to be really tight to a routine, which I need to get through each day, but also be flexible about it.
You're like Haley. If she has a plan and then somehow it goes off the rails, it is like the most devastating thing ever. And I'm so the opposite. I'm like so spontaneous, go with the flow,
yes,
winging it. And so if there's like a plan and I'm like, oh, it's fine, it didn't work out. It's like, but it was the plan. I don't understand your minds.
I feel like I'm a good. I definitely lean more towards Mark, but I think like work-wise, I like to have a routine. Like I like to look at my calendar for the next day and like know what time I'm doing things. And like I do enjoy that, but I don't necessarily need a structure on like a weekend. I just kick my heels up and you know what? Actually, I've been reading a lot of self-help books. Shocker. And one of the things that two of the books was talking about was how like unlocking true happiness is living in the present. And I was like, okay, that's what everybody says, like live in the moment. I know, you know, but when they like broke it down, I was like, wow, it actually really makes sense. So it was like, we as human beings, we try, like life is uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know. You have no control over anything. But as human beings, we try to control everything by creating structure, meetings, goals, plans, trips, you know, like you name it, and we try and like kind of control our narrative in every way, shape, and form, which I am totally guilty of also. And they were like, if you can kind of, you can still do those things, but if you can really truly just live in the present, that is the key to happiness. And so mm-hmm. I've been trying so hard to like be in the moment and like appreciate the moment and root in gratitude versus anything else.
That's a really good point. I mean, I think we all, especially when something happens that's out of our control, I think we do even more to control the things that we can control. I think that's when a lot of people who have naturally obsessive compulsions lean towards that, like, I can control this when I can't control that's going on, so I'm going to just put all my focus into this. And I think it is so helpful and so grounding to be able to say, like, I'm in this moment and I have no control over what happens in the next 10 minutes even, you know, right. Like, I had that moment kind of when my cousin passed away of thinking, like, we always think there's more time. Like, we always have this, right. We put things off till tomorrow. We don't reach out to people because we'll do it next week. And it mm-hmm. was kind of an eye opener of being like, our time is so short, and we don't, even if you live until 90, like, that is, in the grand scheme of things, not a long time, you know? And I think it kind of put this new perspective in my head of, like, it's, we have such limited time and we have to just make it count where we can. And my goal this year is to really let go of other people's opinions, and not like holding on to them to a point where they're affecting my energy or my mood or how I'm feeling.
Tilly, me freaking too. And I mean that in every way, shape, or form. Like, I had this huge epiphany of just the only thing we know for sure. Can you tell I'm reading Oprah's book, The Things I Know For All, what is it called? The Things I Know For Sure or whatever. But it always comes back to like you, you know what I mean? Like, the only thing that you can control is you and your thoughts and like how you were and everything. And it's really letting go of just mm-hmm. all the expectations that like everybody else puts on you or your life, whether it's family or social media or a coworker or whatever, XYZ, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very good. I highly recommend this book.
Yeah, I mean, you're really, it's like quoting. I feel like I'm talking to Oprah if I close my eyes.
Just do listen. You really?
No, but I was just saying, it was like, I felt like I was getting the cliff notes of the book. No, but it was all good stuff. If you hadn't told me it was Oprah, I would have thought it was from your own mind, because I do feel like that's very much your, that's, you know, true. How your energy and your message and what you want people to, you know, get from, whether it's following you or listening to you on the podcast or the morning show. Like, is it the morning show? Yeah. Are y'all the morning show?
Yeah. On Air with Ryan Seacrest.
I just clicked that. So is Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon. They're the morning show.
That's right, baby. Same, same, you know? Same, same.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm ready for that show.
Me too.
But anyways, I'm glad that we're on the same page. And I think that will really kind of open up this podcast a lot more to being kind of what it was when we started, which was a little more like open and free and honest. And I'm hoping that's how we continue to go, because that's what I want it to be. And I think that us just having that mentality switch and coming into this new year, kind of having, I'm not saying things switch overnight. Like, I can still read a DM and be like, oh, that hurts. How do I please him? But I'm learning to go like, no, that's not what we're doing this year. Like, we're not doing that anymore. And it's not like, you don't just switch that off because I've been doing it for 32 years, but I do want to make a cautious effort of, you know, being just like real. And if people like it, or if they want to have a conversation, I'm happy to have a conversation, but not just letting them get to me because if they have an opinion.
No, I completely agree with you. And it's like, it took that trolley DM for me to like come to this realization of everybody's going to have an opinion about something, you know what I mean? And especially like coming out of a breakup, your emotions are high, you're super sad, you're like all, you know, just all these things are flooding your mind. And I was just like, the only thing that matters is my authentic and true feelings for that relationship and what it was mm-hmm. and what I gave. And I know that that is how it was for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was truly something so special and so rare. And like, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm with you. We have to take a break and we'll be right back because I do want to talk about the Sex and the City reboot coming
best name back. Ever.
We'll be right back with more of that. All right, everyone, we are back. I have some breaking news. My sister just came in and brought me a Starbucks drink, and she told me that the lemon loaf has been discontinued, but then we have figured out that maybe, what did you say it is, Mark?
Well, I don't know for sure, because these are all rumors, but I know that none of the Starbucks in the area where I live, in Newberry Park, Thousand Oaks, California, they're all closed, and apparently there's some sort of distribution issue, and I had heard there's a COVID breakout at the plant, like where they're delivering this stuff. And I don't know if that's true or not, but they open for, one of them opens for a few hours in the morning. They run out of stuff. They close for the day because they can't get anything.
I am speechless.
I could probably make you a good like vegan lemon loaf.
Tanya, I don't want vegan and I don't need vegan. Like I want, if you're going to make me something with love from your heart, I want all the good stuff in it.
Let me tell you something. I didn't make it. My friend made it, but it was a vegan chocolate cinnamon bread or whatever. Delicious. Like,
okay, well,
so bomb. I'll get the recipe and I'm going to make you some and you're going to be like, this is vegan. Can I get some more?
So Tanya came over and this was fresh off the breakup and she brought these vegan desserts and so she's gonna be so upset right now.
You can't tell me that those were not delicious.
They were better than I thought they would be with all the missing things that like normally I love in a pastry, but like it was a fragile time, so we were all just like raving about how good they were. But I just have to confess that I don't think I'd spring for those a regular day, but they were. I'll give it to you that they were better than other vegan things I have tried. However, wow. I'm still going for.
They weren't just vegan. They were also like refined sugar free, gluten free. Like they're it was like all the freeze.
I was going to say, because like vegan stuff, you can still load those suckers up with sugar, but if there's no.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. Imagine yeast. Just use your imagination.
I mean, I have to eat my share of gluten-free nonsense in this house. I know the pain.
I know, but gluten-free, there's still some good quality options in the gluten-free realm, but she really hit. She was like, this is dairy-free, gluten-free, no refined sugar, no blah, blah, blah. I was just like, well, what is it?
I thought it was delicious. I was happy as a clam. I didn't eat anything all day until that. I probably ate like half of that box.
That's the key.
Oh, yeah. I made you salmon starving. And you ate. No. Oh, yeah. That's the key. And then also the other day I'm FaceTiming Tanya and she goes, oh, yeah, I've just like really gone off the rails. I'm drinking soda now. And I was like, what? You're drinking soda? And she's like, yeah, this Zevia root beer. And I was like, that is flavored sparkling water. That is not off the rails.
It feels like I'm kicking back with a soda. And I'm like, who am I? 2021 kicking back with a soda pop watching Harry Potter.
That is
Tanya's doing a Harry Potter marathon for some reason that I still can't figure out.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I've never seen a single one of the never saw one of the movies.
Who cares?
Either.
Who cares?
But I am not going to.
It's like this huge thing. Like everybody's like obsessed. I didn't even realize how big of a cult following Harry Potter had until I posted that Instagram. The amount of DMs I got, it was like
Tanya,
insane.
You're in the pop culture world and you didn't know how big of a cult following Harry Potter has had for however many years.
Yeah, I guess I knew that, like, that it was a thing in the past, not now, like, that people are still, like, people said that they did the same thing in the beginning of the pandemic, that they watched 1 through 8 all the way through and, like, all this stuff. I was like, what?
Are you enjoying?
It's also, it's not really your thing.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it feels Wizards? Forced, Tanya. It feels forced.
It feels forced.
Really?
Have you seen the Lord of the Rings movies?
No. Ew, I hate those movies.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, don't watch those. Who cares? They're not for you. Like, for example, I've never seen Riverdale. I'm in my 40s. It makes sense. I understand that it has a cult following, you know?
Right.
It's not my deal.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm actually... So, but like... Ariana Grande's obsessed with Harry Potter. Julia Michaels has like a Harry Potter tattoo. Like, I'm like, there's got to be something to it.
And okay. Is there something to it? Have you found there to be?
The second movie, I'm liking a lot more than the first one, for sure.
This is such a hilarious conversation. Are you going to watch Lord of the Rings after? Like, what is your... Oh, no. That
I'm going to do
not big one Oscars.
Right. I'm going to do Harry Potter and then we'll see what, I mean, the world is my oyster, you know, like who knows what's coming next. I watched finished Bridgerton, did Queen's Gambit, like the, you know,
I have a bone to pick with Bridgerton. Okay. Easton, Mark, have y'all watched Bridgerton?
No, I think my wife decided to watch that one on her own.
Yeah.
We haven't watched it yet, but I'm excited because I hear it's so horny and I like that.
It's so horny. And like, honestly, I was... Okay, so I don't really particularly like period pieces, so I immediately was not interested in it. And then everyone started talking about it. I saw Tanya was watching it. It was like trending on Netflix. So I got home and I was like, well, I might as well give it a shot. It's Shondaland. Like, hello. Feels like a win.
Right.
I just couldn't get into it because I don't like period pieces. And then everyone goes, wait until episode 5 to when it gets really good. And so I'm like trying to figure out why it gets really good at episode 5 when there's only 8 episodes. I have to go through 5 episodes that I'm going to be bored by. So then everyone's like, it gets really steamy. Like the sex scenes are so good. And so I was like, I'm just going to go to episode 5 and see like what it's all about.
Like, you can't just do that.
But let me tell you something. Sex, just like in real life a lot of the times, does not mean anything if there's no connection. And I did not connect to these characters, so therefore the sex was just sex and it didn't, like, I was just kind of like, oh,
yeah, because you
nice
like didn't
body.
Get the backstory. So like I can't remember, I think it was episode 4 and he gives this like monologue.
Well, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Well, it's not really spoiler alert because I don't exactly know what he said, but it resonated so much with what I had just gone through. Do you know what I mean? What?
Well, you were going to give us a reason why you really resonated with it, but you can't remember what he said. So,
well, like, I don't know the monologue. Like, I can't repeat it off the top of my head, but it was something along the lines of, I can't give you what you want. And she was like, it's you that I want, or something like that. And then they just like made out and stayed together. Like, I can't remember exactly what it was, something along those lines. And I just started sobbing, like uncontrollably sobbing. And I was like, I am not well, like watching this like 50 Shades of Grey period piece sobbing in my apartment in the middle of COVID.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'm definitely in the minority of people's opinions on it because everyone has like rant and raved about it, but personally for me it was not my I mean, I used to get butterflies when Derek and Meredith would look at each other, like in the elevator scenes. Like, I literally would be like and then I watched this like passionate raunchy sex scene and I felt zero things.
Yeah, well, it's because you watched it without getting a little bit of their
episodes. I totally got the back and forth. He was scared because he didn't want to be like his dad.
Yeah.
But he worked so hard not to be like his dad that he was becoming his dad.
You know? It sounds like Amos can have this one.
But speaking of shows, Sex and the City is coming back.
The best news, honestly, in quite some time.
But I noticed that Kim Cattrall not going to be a part of it?
Yeah, so they're saying that she's not a part of this story. So it'll be Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I was just reading. that they're each getting over $1 million an episode, which, by the way, good for them. No issue with that whatsoever.
Totally.
However, my point is, Kim Cattrall must really hate their guts to turn down over $1 million an episode.
You know what's funny? I had that exact same thought. I read the story that they were getting $1 million each, and I was just like, Kim Cattrall is probably either A, swimming in the dinero, or what do you call it, moolah? Swimming in the moolah to give up $1 million an episode. She can't just suck it up.
Do we know that she didn't want to be a part, or that they didn't ask her to be a part?
I'm pretty sure she's on the record saying, I'm not doing another movie, I have no interest in that, and then making a snide comment about, like, I want to work with good people from now on. Something along those lines.
And I saw a lot of, like, fans, like, commenting about replacing her, like, getting another actress to be Samantha Jones.
No.
And I thought, you know, I don't hate that. Like, let's give another actor. Come on, like, let's get someone else $1 million. Who cares, you know? Like, no, if Kim doesn't want it.
Unless it was, like, Kim's long-lost sister or something, and she was the same, or, like, a twin or something.
No, it would still be Samantha Jones, but it would just be a different actress.
I hate when shows do that. I hate when they, like, try to act like we're not paying attention enough to know that they fully switched out the actress.
Dick York and Dick Sargent, Bewitched. I mean, come on.
Wow, what a reference.
I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either.
It's a
show called Bewitched from the 60s. It's interesting because Kim Cattrall is available. Filthy Rich, that horrible show she did on Fox, that got canceled. So she's available.
But is is it like she's like, the story of Samantha has been told. I don't want to revisit the character. We don't need to. Is it like something like that? Or is it she truly just hates them?
Honestly, I don't know, but the story of Samantha Jones needs to be told. Like, we need to know what these girls are up to. They're going to be in their 50s, navigating life in the city, you know, having sex in their 50s. Like, I am so here for this. Like, I can't even wait. They haven't given a date, but that date is going so far etched in my calendar. You don't even want to know.
Are you at all concerned about it not working out and not being any good? Because so many of these reboots are garbage.
That was going to be my next thought. Like, I'm going to watch it and I'm going to be excited to watch it. But I have had some bad experiences with shows coming back after going away. And so I have to put my trust in the girls that they're going to make it happen, and whoever they choose as the showrunners. Because I think the showrunner is not going to be the same person who it was. I think
Darren Star is not involved.
See, that's what I'm a little bit nervous, because I feel like I don't want the show to get super in the times. Do you know what I mean? Like, old school Sex and the City, where, I don't know, like,
Carrie's an influencer now, like that kind of
thing. Yeah,
yeah. I don't want it to be so present. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to avoid it, because something that was so special about Sex and the City, even watching it now, was that there was no social media. It was like these old flip phones, you know? It was just like she was on that like old MacBook typing, and there was just so much like charm and nostalgia to watching it now, but it was also they were such modern women that it feels present in that sense, you know?
Yeah, but like, what I'm hoping is that they don't take it to a different level.
No,
you know
what
I mean? Like,
saying,
I still want it to be about Sex and the City. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Let me tell you, I'm a massive fan. I watched it like on TV. I saw both movies opening night. I love Sex and the City so much, but that second movie sucked so bad.
The second movie was so bad.
It did, but like, I sometimes watch it when I see it.
I cannot revisit that thing. I wish it was wiped from my memory, and that makes me afraid for this show. I feel like we're gonna get 10 episodes of the second movie where they're like,
No, don't say it. I mean, nothing will ever beat the feeling of seeing that first movie and that opening entrance. I have chills.
What was the opening entrance?
They're just walking. It's on the streets of New York. They all like meet up into a line. Like, they come from different directions.
It's like watching the Avengers get together. It's so cool.
No, I mean, the finale, like the final episode, I can't watch it. I literally can't even watch it because I just start sobbing. Like, I'm so emotionally invested with those women. It's actually crazy.
You know, everyone has their thing, Tanya.
Like, Charlotte.
Are you, Charlotte? Mostly as a yeah, you are.
And that's why I think this show is so good, because I think everybody could relate to, if not one particular character, they had a couple characteristics from each one of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, each one was so different, but so distinct. And I think that they had such a, like, everybody could resonate with a characteristic from one of them.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's I'm excited about it. I just hope it doesn't suck.
I have hopes. Right.
Fingers crossed.
Gotta keep
hopeful,
a quiz. You know?
Want to play the game?
Yeah, let's do. I mean, should we include Easton in this? Because he is a stan as well.
Easton, you in?
I'm in.
All right, I've never done it this way before, but I'll figure it out as we go. It's just standard Sex and the City trivia. Nothing clever, nothing exciting. It's kind of a last minute thing. But we got to figure out who goes first. Let's do odds or evens. So you go 1, 2, 3, and then you hold up a 1 or a 2.
Okay.
All right, here we go. And 1, 2, 3. All right, I got 1, 1, 2. So Easton is the odd man out with his even number. Easton goes first. All right, here we go.
All right.
Easton, what was the cause of Samantha's red face at Carrie's book release party?
Menopause?
Nope. No. And now we'll go to Becca for the steal.
Her red face was
She had a red face at Carrie's book release party. Samantha did.
Yeah, I kind of remember. Tanning bed.
No, I'm sorry. Tanya
nope,
for the
she
steal.
She got a face peel.
That is absolutely right. Very nice. Tanya on the board peel. With 1.
Yeah, baby.
Next question goes to Becca. Becca, what was the name of Charlotte's dog?
Oh.
And I'll give you a hint if you like. It's a celebrity.
It's a celebrity?
A first and last name of a celebrity. It's not like, you know, Spot or Fido or something.
Oprah Winfrey.
Wrong. Mm. Tanya for the steal.
I don't know, but it was like Princess something.
Easton.
Elizabeth Taylor?
Taylor.
That is absolutely wow. right. Very nice. Elizabeth one Taylor. For Tanya, one for Easton. All right, this is Tanya's question. Which of the four girls was stood up by all of her friends at a restaurant for her birthday?
Carrie.
Yes, that's right. 2 for Tanya, 1 for Easton. Becca's still trying to get on the board. Here's Easton's question. What did Carrie's boyfriend, Aiden, do for a living?
Oh.
He was a carpenter.
Okay, yeah. I'll accept that. Owned a furniture store is what I have here, but I'll accept it.
Carpenters.
2 for Tanya, 2 for Easton. Becca, you can get on the board right here. Where does Miranda meet Steve for the first time?
Oof. That's a good question.
Thank you.
They meet, I think they meet at a friend's party.
That is incorrect. Tanya for the steal.
The gym?
That is incorrect. Easton for the lead.
The bar?
That is correct.
No,
it was at a bar. Steve
bar.
Was working was at, working the, at bar. The bar. Miranda was waiting for a long time for Kara to show up.
That's
Steve
right.
Steve and Miranda went
I'm
back
so
to her
upset.
Place that
I
night.
I literally was going to say bar, and I was like, there's no way it's that easy.
Well, there's a little story behind it. But Easton's got 3 now. Tanya's got 2. Becca, shut out so far. This question belongs to Tanya. Miranda's judgmental Ukrainian nanny, Magda.
Mm-hmm.
Once replaced Miranda's vibrator with what?
This show's so good.
It was like a what's her name? Like a Mary statue or like a Mary rosary or something like
I'm
that.
I'm going to give it to you. It's a Virgin Mary figurine.
Virgin
and I'm
Mary
sure all
figurine.
The people
yeah,
at
yeah,
Zoe
yeah.
Church would appreciate you calling her what's her name.
That
I believe
so good.
That ties it up. I'm sorry. I should be writing this down. Is it 3-3 now?
Yeah.
Yep.
It is 3-3 now. And Easton has the question now, so he can take the lead here. Easton, in both the first episode and the last episode, Mr. Big says this to Carrie when she invites him up to her apartment late at night.
Abso-blankin-lutely.
That's exactly right. Well, not exactly right, but as close enough as it'll be
family podcast.
On an iHeartRadio podcast. Easton's got a lead that I don't know that he can give up here, but we'll give Becca a question because it's her turn. And this is, I'm going to give this one as a bonus question, okay? There are three parts to this question. You'll get a point for each part you can get right. So, Becca, you can actually make a game of it right now because it's four for Easton. Tanya has three. If you get this whole thing right, you can tie Tanya. What is Mr. Big's full real name? I'll give you a point for first, middle, and last.
It has to be Sir Big Balls.
Okay.
I know his first name.
Yeah, I know his first name.
I literally have no idea. What is
John.
It?
John.
John is correct. That's 4 points. That ties it up. You can take the lead with a middle or a last name, Tanya.
It's John something Jr.
I don't have Jr. here. That may be true, but I just have first, middle, and last name.
I just remember John.
All right, Easton, you can win the game if you can give me his middle or last name.
Oh, God.
He doesn't know it.
It's, I don't know it.
Okay.
Smith.
Just guess. Yeah, Smith.
Yeah, guess a middle and guess a last.
Oh, middle is Anthony, and last name is Smith.
His name is John James Preston.
Preston.
All right.
Preston.
So we have a tie. We have four for Tanya and four for Easton. So the tiebreaker is, how many total episodes of Sex and the City were there without going over? Price is Right rules apply. Whoever is closest
first?
Without going over. Easton had the lead, and he caught up. So, Tanya, you'll go first. She's counting on her fingers.
120.
120. Easton?
75.
Tanya went over. Easton wins. 94 episodes of Sex and the City. I'm trying to do the math. I believe Ethan was also closer. Yeah, he was 19 off where Tanya was 26
off. Because they had
off.
Six seasons.
And I figured like 12 episodes or something, or 15.
Oh, see, I went 20 episodes a season.
Yeah, those were different times.
Easton, way to go, buddy. Nice job
on
the Sex and the City trivia.
Thank you very much. That was this win goes out to a lot of people, and I'm grateful to be part of the game. That's all.
That show is so good. I've actually been like writing like Carrie Bradshaw lately because I've just been like...
I couldn't help but wonder...
So I've been like writing in my journal at night, like full on Carrie Bradshaw vibes.
I couldn't help but wonder.
One quick thing about me, and I was on the speech and debate team in high school. As you know, I was swimming in women. One of the things you do in speech and debate is, besides the debating part, is you can do a thing where you like act out something from a book or a play. And a lot of the kids I competed with are eggheads and they did like really highbrow stuff. But no. The E-Man did a scene from the Sex and the City book, it was like the first time you meet Big, and I did that with a girl in our team, and we acted this out, and I have a trophy here somewhere for it. But
trophy!
I read the
I
Sex
had no
City
idea
book.
The competition you would be during that quiz, but you really came to play hard.
Play hard.
You know, I was always Team Aiden a little bit.
Me?
I think everybody was.
I don't like
Aiden. For sure. He was the good guy.
I know. Well, he was like, to me, you know, it was like my Dawson's Creek days of like, everyone thought it would be Dawson, but I wanted, except for Tanya. I mean, Tanya was one of those people. But I wanted Pacey because I felt like there was just like this deeper, kinder love. And I felt like that was Aiden. When they broke up and he hugged her,
oh, I can't. I, honestly, I'm not emotionally stable to think about that right now.
Him replacing her computer turned me off from him forever, though. That episode, I rewatch that episode all the time when her computer breaks and he buys her a new one. And I just felt like that revealed so much about him. And it was like, okay, this is my take on it. And Allison agrees with me. If she's in the next room, she'll agree. That was him going like, I'm going to solve your problem the way I think it should be solved, and you have no say in this whatsoever. And you know, she got really upset, obviously, And like the way he reacted to it, I found very disappointing. And very like the fact that he was like, I do this nice thing for you. And, you know, and you don't want to like you're not going to take the computer. And I just felt like that was a really like selfish thing for him to do, even though it was an act of kindness. I still felt like it was him trying to be like, you're solving this problem the way I see that you should.
Talk about selfish and Mr. Big, who like fully is having an affair with Carrie while he's married to somebody else. Talk about selfish a-hole.
He is, but he's real. But that's who he is. You know, he's not pretending to be the greatest guy in the world.
So bad. I just have to tell you guys. So Easton set up this new thing to like make our audio quality better in 2021 for the podcast. And I'm not supposed to have my computer plugged in, but my computer was dying halfway through the podcast, so I had to plug it back in. And there's this buzzing in my ear. It's louder. It sounds like there's a jackhammer, like jackhammering in my brain while all of you are talking.
Well, why don't we take a break? We have emails to get to, and let's solve your issue while we're listening to these fantastic sponsors of Scrubbing In.
Okay.
All right, we are back, and we have some emails that Mark is going to read for us, and they're pretty good. I mean, these are some good emails this week.
They're both anonymous, which is a sign right there. The first one, I know when Becca was on The Bachelor, she was a virgin, and as stated, she no longer is. And Tanya is also open about the fact that she was never waiting for marriage. I'm curious if they could speak to if they ever wrestle with guilt from being raised in Christian environments where sex is viewed as meant for inside of marriage. This is something I struggle to reconcile as a devout Christian, but as I get older, I also feel less inclined to wait for marriage, but then I get guilt that I would be a bad person or it would hurt my relationship with God.
Oh man. This has been so complicated. Like I don't know that if I just have an answer that like an easy answer or simple answer. When I decided to wait for marriage, it was definitely when I was younger, it was a lot of pressure from not pressure, but it was very much encouraged in the church that I went to, and my parents never put that pressure on me. It was kind of a decision I made in my relationship with God. And, I don't even know if I've spoken about this on the podcast, but when I lost my virginity, I remember that my first feeling was that I disappointed people who had like connected with me through the fact that I was a virgin. And it wasn't even so much like my guilt in my relationship with God as much as it was I felt like I had let people down, and I realized that I had been holding on to this this idea of me waiting for marriage so long because of the fact that people related to it more so than I was doing it because of my relationship and my faith. But I do think there was some guilt afterwards, but I don't know that that guilt came from anything that was from God, if that makes sense. And I think it's a lot of it's kind of a social construct. And I've been studying a lot about a lot of the things that I grew up believing. And I'm 100% for anyone waiting for marriage if that's a decision you make. But I don't like the guilt that's attached to it. And I've always had a strong opinion against that, especially since I lost my virginity. But I do think that there's something beautiful about being in love and in a healthy relationship and being in a safe place to give that part of yourself to someone. And I don't think everyone feels that way or has to feel that way, but don't feel pressured to do it because the world's saying have sex casually, it's totally fine, you won't feel anything, because that could be the case. But also, it is a very important thing. It's special. And I personally believe that it's better when it's with someone that you care about and love and feel cherished by. But yeah, I think it's a lot of people struggle growing up in the Christian church and having the pressure of the church and also parental pressure and societal pressure, and make sure that you're making your choices for you and your heart and what makes you feel whole and good, because that's what matters ultimately.
You know, what's funny is, like, I'm on the flip side of that, because, like, I wasn't raised necessarily to say, wait till you're married. And I feel like I kind of grew up around people who just, sex wasn't a big thing. You know what I mean? And it was like, you're young and it's fun. And, like, you know, sow your oats and do your thing. And for me, the guilt was coming from the fact that I was having this unattached sex and wanting something deeper and not getting that. And it was like, it's like the reverse guilt. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I thought I should be doing this and having sex and having fun. And it wasn't fun for me, you know? And it was like, I had this big, like, aha moment of, I don't want to have unattached sex. You know what I mean? Like, that mm-hmm. doesn't make me feel good. That doesn't make me feel good at all. And it's so funny, when I made that decision, I flipped that switch. It was like, I was so much happier. I wasn't having sex. I mean, I like had my vibrator, like, chilling over here. But I was the happiest I've ever been, because I wasn't giving my body mm-hmm. and giving these things and not getting what I wanted out of a relationship. You know what I mean? So I wasn't having that letdown, that mm-hmm. that common thread, this, like, perpetual pattern of pain that I was in. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was more of just like a decision that I made for myself and, like, what felt good to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think you and I are the same in that we do value that and don't get the fulfillment of having unattached sex, but I think some people do, and I think
right. that and if you do, good on you.
Yeah, but I do think that it's like, when I was a virgin, I was very proud of the fact that I was waiting. Like, I never felt ashamed of it. I, like, almost told people too fast. Like, I'd go on a date and it would, like, somehow come out. But I do think that it's, if you're doing it because it's what your heart wants and you want to be married to the person that you have sex with for the first time, then do it and be proud of it. But don't not do it because you're feeling like you're going to disappoint your parents or other people in your life or God. Like, don't like live with that guilt and pressure, because if you're like wanting to explore that. But I do encourage you to do it with someone that there's feelings and meaning behind it.
And trust.
Yeah, trust and safety. Otherwise, you'll just be like Bridgerton, me watching Bridgerton with no feelings about it.
All right, next up from another anonymous. Long story short, I was in a relationship with my ex for 2 years. He broke up with me one day out of the blue. Fast forward 1 year later, and he called me, and we talked every day for 9 months. We live in different cities. Talking with him again was great, but the problem was he never asked me to be his girlfriend again. He would tell me he loves me. And he said if he were to ask me to be his girlfriend, then it was definitely the real deal, and he knew that I would definitely be his wife, and that's why he couldn't, because he wanted to be 100% sure. 2 weeks ago, I decided to tell him we just need a time apart, because obviously he's keeping me in limbo and it hurts too much. At this point, I'm just so heartbroken all over again, and I don't know what to do. Do I give up?
Tanya?
I'm gonna go the Matthew Hussey route on this one, because what he said really resonated with me. This man has now broken your heart this many times, and there's a period there. There's a lot of question marks out in the world. It's a lot of question marks.
that was it.
Wait, are you doing this right?
No. Yeah. I think she's trying to say, like, there's so many other people out there who have not hurt you that way that you can find that happiness and love. And you've given this guy two opportunities to break your heart, and he does not deserve a third time.
Exactly.
And I think it's the opposite, Tanya. This guy's one big question mark. You got to go find yourself a period. Somebody who'll be honest with you and tell you the truth.
No, I think she's saying he has solidified that he doesn't want to be with her twice. It's a period. Whereas right. there are so many other options out there. Question marks of who knows what could happen. I think that's right.
That's right, Becca.
Okay.
Well, I think he wants to have his cake and eat it too. He's just stringing you along, especially living in another city. Because that way, if there's somebody there he falls for, he's not cheating on you. That's all he's doing is he's keeping his options open and he's trying to make that seem like he's a good guy for doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's enough. It's not about giving up. Don't say I give up. It's about moving on and doing what's best for you instead of what's best for him in his mind.
Yeah.
He's not a period nor a question mark. He's a parentheses.
Ooh. Oof.
Boom.
It's so true, though. It's like
throws the mic back.
Dude.
I mean, yeah, it's just like, and the thing is, it's, we have said this so many times when we give advice on relationships, it's so much easier from the outside looking in. And when you're in it and you feel like this time's going to be the time that it works, it's so hard to know that it's just not. And you literally have given him two opportunities and he has let you down twice. So it's time. He does not deserve a third opportunity. So you're not giving up. You're like doing something for yourself.
Yeah. And that's like the best way to put it. The remarks that it's not giving up. It's just moving on, you know, like moving on and moving forward. And also too, like, I think something, I can't remember somebody said this to me a long time ago, but like, if this was a really great relationship and you guys had a lot of love there, like God doesn't give you gold and like he doesn't dangle gold in front of your face to give you silver for the rest of your life. Like the next person that you find is going to be even better and the relationship's going to be even stronger and this person's going to be all in with you from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And I know it's hard to envision that when you're in it, but like there's better around the corner.
Yes, and every day for 9 months. I mean, take that time you're putting into him and put it into yourself and such wonderful things are going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got this. You got this. Well, the time has come.
Yeah, and really fast, I do want to update because, you know, I was supposed to learn Taylor Swift on the guitar, and yeah. I have realized that the ukulele is a lot harder than one anticipated.
Interesting.
And I wasn't really in the right mindset over winter break to, you know, just crying a lot, just a lot of tears and running.
Yeah.
But I have started this process and it's so hard.
It's weird. It's almost like we told you that it would be
Who
hard.
Knew?
Yeah.
I'm not giving up, but I'm just going to say it's taken me a little bit longer than one would hope.
The ukulele, I think, is harder than the guitar in many ways because it's so small. You know?
I thought it was going to be easier.
Yeah.
No, really? Because I would imagine, because part of the guitar when when I would just like try to learn keys?
Chords.
I was like, part of it was that it was so, I felt like my fingers were too small to move. So I would think the ukulele would be easier in the sense of like space.
But you have to like play Twister with your fingers with the ukulele because they have to like stretch over themselves because there's only so much room.
I'm just like, I need really? A human teaching me. I can't.
Tanya, will you please film yourself trying? Please.
The best part is like this guy, Miles, who does a lot of our imaging for Kiss FM, and he also
Miles
does.
Miles is a great guy.
Yeah. So he does my weekend show, The Vibe. He edits it. And he heard me talking about learning the ukulele. He sent me a video like teaching me how to play, teaching me how to do it. And I just like, we might need to do a FaceTime in person because the videos are not working.
Wow. I really need just you to set up a phone. You can send it to me. I won't share it, I promise. But I need it for my own personal entertainment, please.
You got it, girl.
Well, on that note, it's so great to be back with you all. I'm really looking forward to this year and the podcast.
Yeah, cheers to 2021 and living our lives.
I'm praying that the lemon loaf comes back and that Starbucks has a revamp situation because that news was not what I was ready for today. But I hope that this year is the year of happiness and health and choosing ourselves and not letting other people's opinions be the demise of our mood.
That's right, baby.
We will be back next week. And I can't wait to hang out again.
Same.
All right. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.